Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudali Wickham Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have in the studio with me, Mr. Ryan Brathwaite, President of the Paralympics Association of Barbados. But I know many of you listeners might be thinking, Ryan Brathwaite, is that the hurdler? Is he the athlete? Well, he is into sports, but he's working with the Paralympics Association of Barbados. And we also know that he was very involved with the Olympic Association of Barbados. So welcome to Visions, Ryan.
Thank you very much, Eileen. Good morning, Barbados. It's a real pleasure to be joining you this morning here on the program, Visions program. And yes, many persons would know me in the Olympic space. That's where I worked for a number of years. And I've recently transitioned now to work with Commonwealth Sport, and equally as well, taking up the helm only just 2 months ago as president of the Paralympic Association of Barbados.
Well, Ryan, let me say thank you for the work you've done in the sporting sector, because it's very important to strengthen this area. And let's start on a personal note. How did you get so involved, and what inspired you to be involved with the Paralympics Association of Barbados?
Yeah, so I think I would say it started back when I decided first to get involved in sport. I remember I reflected back on my days when I was at community college going through my sport management program, and I had the opportunity to do an internship with the Barbados Olympic Association. And I remember one day I was in the office sitting with the director at the time, Mr. Dave Farmer, and it usually would have what we call our turnaround talk. So we would just kind of, bounce ideas off and talk about different things. And one day he swung around the chair and he was like, "So Ryan, have you ever heard about the Paralympic Association of Barbados and power sports generally?" And at the time I did, because of studies, had some experience, in tribute studies, but never really got immersed in it or, to that extent. And he said, the Paralympic Association of Barbados is looking for, a young person, somebody who will be able to bring some expertise, because I have a sport management background, to work with the association. And I think, you'll be a great person to get involved. And, and I said, yeah, I would love to, because, at the point, I'm certainly a very curious individual myself. I said, I'd love that opportunity. And I also saw it as a way to give back. I'm very much a person who's very passionate about service, and I found an opportunity to serve in another space and to learn something new. So at the time he introduced me then to the former president, Mr. Martin Jackman, of the Olympic Association. And let's say from there, I met Mr. Jackman and we connected, and we started to talk a lot about, the what's involved in para sport. And I met the executive at the time, went to a few meetings, and from there, I guess the passion started to evolve, and I got more involved and supporting with a lot of the administrative stuff that they would need, and meeting the athletes and connecting with the community. I would say that passion grew. And, and I guess it led me here today. And there's so many other stories, and just watching and seeing the commitment and the tenacity of the disabled person with disabilities to take part in sport, it really then, I guess, became a calling and drew me in more. And here I am today looking to continue to really make a difference.
Excellent. So as you reflect on your journey and involvement with para sports, what would you say are some of the moments or milestones that really stand out for you?
Yeah, so there are two key ones I'll talk about now. And more recently in my time and being involved, there's a young gentleman, many may know, Antoine Boyce Bourne. And his story is one that's absolutely inspiring. And I think that to see him as a young person who was with a disability, didn't know to swim before, and learning to swim within just maybe a year, year and a half to 2 years' time, and then being able to represent Barbados at the highest level, that being the Paralympic Games in Tokyo in 2020, and then going on to Paris in 2024. For me, that was a great milestone, and one that speaks to, the ability of, you can do anything you put your mind to. It doesn't matter, your circumstance. And for me, that was a really powerful milestone, certainly within my time. And then also think about, most recently as well, the International Paralympic Committee, we call IPC. They have asked Barbados, so what had happened is that in the past, the association had individual membership. And according to the good governance principles that they've established, they've asked all the national parliament committees, of which Barbados is one, to transition to become compliant with their standards. And that meant that we needed to now transition the organization to align, to ensure that we maintain our membership and we make sure that we do what's necessary to continue to be at that table. And I count this as a milestone because that's how I got here today. So we had to, over the last few years, we've been working hard to transition the organization now to become fully compliant. And I'm happy to see that we are there now. We've been able to elect, or to bring on board rather, 9 national federations as a start, so that we can continue to meet their standards. So now we have national federations as members rather than individual members. I know they will be responsible now for developing power sport within the national federations context. So 2 big milestones, and I know I'll probably rattle off a lot more, but I'll stop there for now just to say that, yeah, for me, I'm really excited about, one, the compliance piece, but also to the journey of a young athlete, Antoine. I'm really looking forward to seeing him continue to blossom and grow as a young athlete.
Yeah, so I've watched Antoine, and I'm really fascinated mm-hmm. by the commitment and the effort that not only he puts in, but his team that mm-hmm. works in training and preparing him for the international games. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And of course, it's really super that Barbados is compliant with the International Paralympics mm-hmm. Committee, so that we have federations, and that speaks volume to the further development of para sports in Barbados. Mm-hmm. So, what does Paralympic spirit mean to you personally, and how do you see it reflected in our Barbadian athletes with disabilities?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll reference Antoine first and foremost, because to me, he's an example of that spirit through and through. You know, your disability doesn't equate to your inability. It shows that if you put your mind to something, you can achieve it. If you have the commitment, the dedication, the will, which is all wrapped up in what the Paralympic spirit is about, then you could achieve. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about building an inclusive society as well. I think that's what all the Paralympic spirit speaks to. Giving persons with disabilities the opportunity and the space where they can self-actualize. And Antoine's story, for example, is that is for me right now is one of the success stories in our Barbadian sport landscape. And we've had others like David Taylor, who's represented Barbados in London 2012. The founder of the World, who started the movement altogether, who were instrumental, and they all embody what the Paralympic spirit is about. You know, conquering what we would consider, what people would consider to be inabilities, but what we can see is that persons with disabilities can be involved, can actively, you know, contribute to anything in society and to things that they want to do, want to provide the space and opportunity.
Okay. And as you spoke about the spirit, mm-hmm. you know, it really also addresses the subject, the question mm-hmm. of discipline, talent, mm-hmm. and how do you shape that? How do you mold that as an athlete, mm-hmm. first and foremost, and then getting the support mm-hmm. that is required from the necessary technical people? Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Yes.
So how does leading this organization, the Paralympics Association of Barbados, you know, really change your view of what is possible in sports, particularly for the athletes that may be considered the underdog, mm-hmm. you know, those mm-hmm. individuals with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that do come to mind when talking about leading the organization is a big piece around storytelling. Us being able to ensure that persons with disabilities have the platform which they can share their story, and allow persons to connect with persons with disabilities so that people can have a greater appreciation for, you know, the role that they can play in helping to shape, one, the Paralympic movement, but equally society at large. And I think that's where we need to start to have a conversation around inclusivity. And for me, that's a big priority with respect to leading the organization. The aspects of, obviously, we look at technical support and funding, which I guess we can talk about at some point. But I think for me, the big part around just giving that platform is fundamentally important. And increasing visibility is going to be key if we want people to know that the movement exists, that mm-hmm. people can have a role to play and be actively involved.
Okay, great. And that is a significant move. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to examine para sports in Barbados, what would you say is the current state of para sports here? And really, speak to the technical funding aspect that you just raised.
Yeah, so I would say the organization is in a state of transition. Parasport in Barbados is in a transition stage, in a rebuilding stage. And I say that for two reasons. One, the transition to National Federation membership, compliant with the IPC, is a transition in of itself. Because with the admittance now of national sport federations, who in some instances, they know they want to be actively involved in parasport, but they may not necessarily have all the capacity, or they now need to become more exposed, have more training done. That's why transition is important. But equally, from the rebuilding perspective, how do we now get more and attract more athletes, attract more persons with disabilities to come and take part in sport? We have just a number, a few, who are working towards competitive sport, but we now need to build that base. When we look at sport administration, we normally talk about the pyramid structure, where it always starts at the grassroots level. And we want to make sure we have mass participation, and we work our way up the pyramid to get elite. So at this stage now, rebuilding, we need to make sure we can make the Paralympic movement more mass-based, get more people actively involved in para sport, and that way then it allows us to transition up the pyramid towards elite status. So funding is going to be critical for that discussion, because the organization doesn't have the funding that would allow us to provide the necessary core training that's required. Access to competition is going to be important as well. There's the idea of classification, which is a fundamental important part when we talk about para sports, because it helps to level the playing field. But the reality is that in Barbados and in the region, we don't have the expertise to do the classification as is required. And that means we need to not send athletes to the US or send the athletes to Europe, which, you know, is a significant cost to do. So there are some key things that are going to be required if we are going to be able to successfully provide the resources that we need for athletes. And funding is going to be important to allow us to achieve some of our goals.
You know, one of the things that has always bothered me, not just about para sports, but sports in generally for our athletes, is that support so that they can really eat nutritionally, have the appropriate and adequate type of training that will then propel them into being able to compete at the regional and international levels. And that has always been one of my major challenges in how do we source the funding to support those athletes that may be in the low income bracket and are unable to self-fund their own training and, you know, nutritional support. What type of programs or initiatives will the Paralympics Association of Barbados seek to put in place for that?
So one of the things that we are looking now to do, and I fundamentally believe that planning is important. Now that the new executive is in place and we've been given a new mandate, it's important for us to start with some planning. So one of the things that we're looking to do is going through a bit of a strategic planning process, identify some of the core areas you need to focus on and prioritize. And as you rightfully said, access to coaching, expertise, nutrition, psychology, all those aspects to build that elite athlete is going to be important. But identifying the stakeholders and the persons to do that, we need to have a plan first. You know, people are not going to take you seriously if you don't have a plan, right? And for us, our first step is to build out that plan. But fortunately, we've had really good support. And I want to thank the National Sports Council, the Barbados Olympic Association, the government, the Latin American and Development, Latin American and Caribbean Development Bank, CAF, who've all already kind of signaled that level, that interest to want to help us, and they have been helping us already with some funding and resource capacity in various areas. The America's Paralympic Committee as well have all been rallying around us and have all signaled their intent to help us on this journey. And so right now we're in the planning phase, but once we've completed that, it allows us now to really engage and hear what our needs are in various areas and how can you help provide the funding resource. I'm also going to say this, that it's also an opportunity for corporate partners to become involved. I know in the past we've had entities involved, and this call will be made for them as well to reach out, because we need all the support we can get.
So have we been able as an association to have teams or individual athletes participate at the regional and international games outside of Antoine?
We've had David Taylor at the London 2012 Paralympic Games, but more recently we've had two para badminton athletes, Taliba and Taliba Davis, Joyanne Clark, and we also had a young gentleman who was also trying to get classified. He's a major impaired athlete, Rashid. Then we also have two other athletes who are in training, McDonald Edwards, who is a what we call a throw athlete, he's a track field athlete, a field power athlete. So he's training for that. So we have some opportunities and some persons who are one in training, but equally who have represented. So in para badminton for sure, we've had representation at the regional level in the likes of Taliba and Joyanne Clark.
Okay, great. And I always think of London mm-hmm. Olympics as the bomb because it really demonstrated the power, the commitment mm-hmm. that once it is there can truly open doors
yes.
for the athletes with disabilities.
Yes.
And London really, England really did, you know, above mm-hmm. and beyond.
It was definitely a turning point. You're absolutely yes. right. It was definitely a big turning point. It was one of the better organized, certainly well organized Paralympic Games. And as you briefly said, the profile that came mm-hmm. with it, mm-hmm. you're now actually seeing, interestingly enough, the Paralympic Games viewership is now starting yes. to match that of the Olympics.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is a phenomenon that is something to watch because now you're seeing people now are paying more attention to power sports, which is something that we should be really excited about. And that means that, you know, the future is there, the opportunities are there because people now are connecting and engaging more with it. So it's look out for LA, you know, mm-hmm. Paris last year into Paris 2024. Viewership was off the charts in terms of people watching the para sports as well. So there's mm-hmm. there's a real opportunity there for sure.
Yes. So as we continue to examine the state of para sports in Barbados, mm-hmm. what would you say are some of the systemic barriers and issues that are confronting our athletes? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges that we've heard time and time again is transportation. And I think you probably will be quite mm-hmm. familiar with that as well.
Yes.
You know, if an athlete, a person with a disability wants to get to a particular venue for training, they need transportation. It's not easy to necessarily use public transport. So they, you know, and I guess the government has been putting systems in place with the new buses and stuff to facilitate. But to the scale where you would have dedicated resources to go to training at the time that's required, and you know, that is a big challenge and one of the biggest challenges that athletes have touted about. And it's something that we've had some discussions with the respective agencies about, that we really need to see if we can address, because that's the only way we can get our athletes to be trained up the way they need to be. But they need to get to the venues, they need to get to the training coaches, they need to get to the place that are required. Mm-hmm. So transportation is a big one. And I know that you're very mm-hmm. acutely aware of that challenge. The other one I would say is funding, which I think we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Funding is, in order for us to be able to really make a real meaningful impact, the funding has to be there to do the work that's required. So you can get the coaches, you can get the expertise that's required. And I think the other challenge, that's more of a systemic one, is that I also want persons with disabilities and the community to be a lot more open in their thought process around, you don't have to allow your disability to define your ability to come involved. We will provide opportunity, so I want you to come out. I want you to seek out. You know, don't allow yourself to become that shutting, you know, and we want to provide that space. So I think those are some of the ones that the stigma from other aspects of society who would look to, I guess it's more of an attitudinal approach to persons with disabilities, which I think is not cool at all,
mm-hmm.
that we need to continue to break down. But a lot of that is awareness and
yes.
continue to sensitize people mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. you know, persons with disabilities and how we can better support the community. And I think once we're able to get through and work through a lot of these barriers, then we can see building towards a more inclusive society, which mm-hmm. is what ultimately our goal is, right? That persons with disabilities can feel that they can come out in society and access to everything that we all have access to and can function quite comfortably in all aspects of society. And I think that's really what we need to work towards.
I really want to underscore that point, Ryan, in terms of the athlete with a disability
mm-hmm.
or the individual before they even become the
mm-hmm.
athlete.
Yes.
to be bold. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to be bold.
Absolutely.
And build the confidence within yourself. Because last year I made the decision, after I've been talking about it for so many years, wanted to run.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, Dr. Tony Nichols, offered to be my guide.
Right.
And I mean, I had to also quell some of the fears and anxieties that I have being an older person, mm-hmm. number one,
mm-hmm.
and not running competitively for several years, to take that bold step and say, yes, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Let me do it. So it really was an exhilarating it really was an exhilarating experience. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it, and the training allowed me to build the confidence.
Absolutely.
And feel, yes, I can achieve this. Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I mean, there's a wider community out there who are doing it, right? And I think our athletes, certainly in our public, in our space, once they can see that, mm-hmm. I think they will also further inspire them. And personally, yourself, become that kind of role model, that testament that, yeah, you can do it. You can mm-hmm. do it. Are you going back again this year?
I'm hoping to.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
So as we look around at the international games and, you know, the various countries that some of our athletes have been to participate in the games, what are some of the positive systems that you see working that you think can be transferred to the Barbadian context?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is investment that I've seen, and I do, because of my work as well, have the ability to travel and such like. And one of the things that I've found is that there is a direct investment in para sports that has been prioritized at the level, at all levels, right? And that has allowed the shift towards the results that we've seen for other the countries that success we've seen for some countries. And to me, that's important. Legislative reform. So I'll give you an example of Brazil. So Brazil, they actually went to the level of their parliament to make changes to legislation that ensured that funding was actually earmarked for para sports. That, and they had fortunately had the Rio 2016 Olympics and Paralympics, but that triggered a response from the legislative, which also trickled down to investment from a funding perspective, and that also then ensured that facilities and infrastructure respond accordingly. So I think in terms of best practice, there's definitely a need for all stakeholders to play a role, but we also need the government from a legislative perspective to ensure that the resources and the resources are provided through legislative powers if need be, so that there's that intentional step.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really happy about the step the government have taken in terms of the disabilities, the legislation that has been passed mm-hmm. this year and the policy, because to me, that's a very progressive approach to ensuring that there's an intentional step to ensure that we prioritize persons with disabilities within our societies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, but from a sport perspective, there's a bit more we can do. So those are some things I've seen.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I noticed in Australia is that the para athletes get a lot of community support.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The communities, they're rallying behind the para athletes. And I would like to see that happening in the vein of our para athletes. We see it with the senior games,
mm-hmm.
where the Barbadian public come out and really give that support. And we need to see it now behind our
Absolutely.
Para athletes.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yes. So as we think about the funding and infrastructure, how do you think that the government, you just mentioned the legislation and more investment. What else do you think can be done to give that level of support?
No, I think you made the point about the community. So the corporate entities, there's a role that they can play as well in terms of, providing funding. If we can get all the particular organs working towards providing that resource, then we can see a shift and a movement towards where we need to go. So there's the community, there's government, there's all the NGOs and the stakeholders coming together. Then to me, that helps to shape the system that we want, right? So I think that's important for us at this point in time.
Okay, so as we look ahead,
mm-hmm.
how do you think we can increase the participation of our para athletes? What role do you see the schools for children with disabilities, mm-hmm. You know, playing in strengthening
yes.
our participation.
Yeah, so we had only probably about three and a half weeks, 4 weeks ago, we had our first ever Para Sport Festival where we brought in and exposed all the special needs schools. We had it at the gymnasium, and we brought all the federations who are part of the Paralympic Association of Barbados together. We invited all the special schools, and that was our first step in trying to help to expose and to also be a place where we can have some talent identification. So, but we need exposure. So the schools can play a big role in that, because they now know that there are sports available for our persons with disabilities. We have badminton, we have para taekwondo, we have para table tennis, we have goal ball, blind football, we have bocce. So the number of sports now that are part of our association, the National Day Society of the Blind, have all these different sports as well. And what that means is now that if there's a child with a disability who wants to take part in sport, you can reach out to us. We can connect you with the federation who's now looking now to provide that space to teach the sport, the respective sport. Right? So to schools definitely, you know, can become involved, and we want to provide that pathway for children to be engaged in sport.
Great. What partnerships have you identified or currently working with?
Yes. Yeah. So the National Sports Council have been very supportive, and they've been working with us. The Barbados Olympic Association, they have been a champion in terms of providing funding, some measure of small funding to help us keep moving. The Latin American Development Bank of the Caribbean and Latin America, CAF, they've also been a big supporter, and they've actually provided some funding for what we call a grassroots project that we've just ran, as we were part of the pilot project for three countries. So it was Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, and Jamaica. So we were selected, which is great. So they have provided some funding and the promise to continue to work with us as we continue to transition. So we have been working and be identifying some partners, and our plan over the next year or as we move forward is to find more stakeholders, find more people who want to be part of the movement, and bring them on board as much as we can. And that includes private as well.
Mm-hmm. So Ryan, as we get ready to wrap up the program, what is your vision for Parasports, the Paralympic Association of Barbados, for the next 5-10 years?
So my vision for Parasport in Barbados is predicated on what I consider the three core principles, the three R's principle. One, we want to be a movement that's relevant. We want to ensure we have good reform, and we want to ensure we have a rejuvenated movement. And I say this because, one, from a reform perspective, I want to ensure that we have an organization, a structure that is sound in terms of its governance. We become a leader in terms of modeling good governance for the Caribbean and all the NPCs in the region, and in Barbados as well. I'm excited about the fact that we have a real opportunity to tell and shout about this story. So that's rejuvenating the movement, ensuring that people become excited about power sports and what persons with disabilities have to offer through sport. And then equally as well, when we talk about relevance, we want to be the leading voice for para sports in Barbados, and we want to be able to contribute to persons with disabilities being an active part in sport and letting our voice to the conversation. So definitely being a leader and continuing to lead with respect to para sport development in Barbados, but by extension the region. And then I guess my last one would be, I want to see more athletes out there. I definitely want to see for Elliot 2028 that we can have more than one athlete. We want to see two or three or four, so that we can, you know, people can know that we are here. We have a contribution to make. You know, Barbados always punches above its weight. And I think that we have a real exciting opportunity now to have more increased representation at the games in the future. And once we can do that, I'll be very happy.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Mr. Ryan Brathwaite, the president of the Paralympics Association of Barbados, I want to say thank you for your leadership, your commitment for empowering athletes with disabilities, and your vision,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really strengthen the movement here in Barbados. So it's all about inclusion.
That's
and
right.
Excellence. So let me say thanks again.
Thank you very much, Julie.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. And remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, I want you to truly love yourself and love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Until then, ciao!